Genesis chapter, let me go all the way to where it is. First will be, what in the world? Sorry. Genesis 1 is where we'll start with. I want to read you something called, I put it on Facebook, but if you didn't see it there, it's called The Top 10 Things My Mom Never Said to Me. And just in honor of my mom, this is weird. It's kind of weird for me today because it's the first Mother's Day without my mom. Of course, my mom is having a blast in heaven, and she wouldn't come back no matter whether I gave her flowers or a basketball or any of those really cool things they mentioned. But these are the top 10 things my mom never said to me, okay? Number 10, how on earth can you see the TV sitting back so far? Okay, number 9, homework, schmomework. Come here and watch some TV with me. Number 8, I love this one. Let me smell that shirt. Don't worry, it's good for another week. Number 7, as long as you live in my house, please make your own rules. Ignore me and consider me your personal slave who cleans up after you. Number 6, the curfew I just gave you is a general time to shoot for. I mean, it's not like I'm running a prison around here. Okay, number 5. I love this one. Don't clean your room so often, it makes the rest of the house look bad. she never said that. Number 4, if you don't stop that crying right this instant, I'll probably cave and get you that candy you want to eat before dinner. Number 3, nah, you don't have to call me. I'll eventually figure it out if you're in trouble. Number 2, if you can't think of something nice to say about a person, go ahead and insult them. They're probably a jerk anyway. And number 1, well, you know, now that you mentioned it, I think I am made out of money. So those are 10 things my mom never, ever said to me. So had an awesome mom and miss her, but so glad that she's with the Lord. Want to talk about moms, and it's kind of a weird context. I've just been thinking about this week, and it's like, you know, why did God make it the way he made it? And if we understand the way he made it, we would grasp some things. And so I want to kind of go over some of that with you, and want to start with this whole idea of this, and that is that God actually made humankind male and female. Now, I realize some of this is kind of University of Duh stuff, but hang with me, because I think our society has lost sight of a lot of this. Genesis 1:26 through 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Verse 27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now, several things we need to realize from this passage is, one, note that God made them male and female, okay? In other words, God intended for humanity to have both masculinity and femininity. He meant for both of those to exist. And as such, saints, these are not problems that we have. We don't ever need to consider masculinity or femininity a problem. We don't ever need to consider it a evil or a weakness. You need to understand that when God made us in his own image, he made us male and female, and for us to get the full idea of who God is and what he's like, you've got to have both masculinity and femininity, because that's the way he made us. And as we seek him and as we seek to honor him, please know this, guys, God wants you to be masculine. I mean, it's just flat out what God desires, is for us to be men. Now, he doesn't want us to be men out of control, but he wants us to be his men. And then, ladies, don't ever think that, you know, the best thing for you, feminism has come into our world and has decided to tell you, ladies, it would be better if you were men. It would be better if you acted like men. It would be better if you just took on masculine characteristics and you were more like men. Let me say this. That's dumb. That's crazy. You were meant to be feminine. God made you feminine. God gave us a difference between male and female. And viva la difference. It is an awesome thing that God has done. And there's nothing wrong with masculinity. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with femininity. And what God desires is for us to be biblically led in our masculinity and our femininity. But God desires for both of those aspects of humanity to be clearly seen. And honestly, he desires for them to be enjoyed. And I'm afraid you got this whole mindset of men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And you got all these things where they're just trying to pit the sexes against one another. And the thing is, God never meant for them to be pitted against one another. He meant for them to be side by side, and he meant for them to express the fullness of his image in man and in woman. Now, the other thing that God said here is, be fruitful and multiply in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Therefore, we know it was God's intent for us to have families. In other words, it was God's idea that the whole thing called fatherhood and motherhood would come into existence. It was his idea. He thought it up. It was his intent. It is his desire, and he will bless that. Now, what we're going to see, though, is in Genesis chapter 3, where they were given this paradise, they were living in this paradise. God, by the way, intended for them, even in the garden, to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue it and to rule over all the works of that they saw in the earth. That was God's intent even back then. So understand this, the whole idea of population filling the earth was also God's idea. And so this mindset that says the world is just horribly overpopulated and we need to do something about the population explosion. Let me say, the population explosion is God's intent. He wants us to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth with humanity. That was his intent. Now, the problem came in that at the fall, God gave man only one rule, we know that. Don't eat from the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Don't think that you're going to be able to determine good and evil by yourself, where you yourself, by your own knowledge and by your own understanding, are going to determine what is evil and what is good, because God in his sovereignty, God is the only one who is the moral lawgiver. Therefore, God is the only one who can help us understand a moral law that makes sense. And so God had given us only one rule, and we broke it. And as a result, mess came into our world. I mean, the whole idea of sin came into our world. It wasn't an idea. Sin actually came into our world. And as a result, there were problems that took place. And since this is Mother's Day, I'm going to kind of talk to you ladies, because in all honesty, where it started was with Eve basically being independent of her husband and going ahead and listening to something that was not the word of God, and as a result, she took the fruit. Now, Adam's sin was this. He knew exactly what was going on. He wasn't deceived. He just rebelled against God. And thus, the sin was far greater for Adam than it was for Eve. But Eve, through Eve, kind of sin kind of had its entrance into our world, and it was a mess. And so God began to work in his way. And here's the awesome thing. No matter what the mess is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what has happened in our world, the awesome thing is that God begins working toward redemption. And God first has to remove Adam and Eve from the garden, and they are placed outside the garden, and there are problems, there are curses that fall on them as a result. But one of the interesting things that's said in Genesis 3:15 is this. God says, and I will put enmity, he's talking to the snake, he's talking not just to the physical animal, the snake, he's talking to Satan, and he's talking to the devil, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Isn't that interesting? It says, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now, after the fall, the role of women, especially as mothers, was going to be a role and an aspect of life to which the devil was going to fight with everything he had. There was going to be an enmity between Satan and what Satan was trying to do in the world and the whole idea of mothers, moms, women, and especially those women who gave themselves to motherhood. There was going to be an opposition to that. And don't we see that even in today's world? We see the whole thing of trying to tell women, hey, don't worry about that whole idea about being a mother. Don't worry about that whole idea of being a mom. And the feminist movement has actually said, you know, you don't need to be tied down with that. You need to give yourself to a career and these things. And you don't need to, you know, you don't need to think that motherhood is a great thing. And by the way, motherhood's an awesome thing that God has given you, ladies. You know, I'm going to give you a biological fact. I know it's going to shock you, but men can't give birth. And even if we could, we wouldn't. Because men are babies when it comes to pain, okay? You know, Carol Burnett was talking one time, and she said, if you want to understand the pain of labor, men, take your lower lip. And the guy kind of grabbed his lip and said, pull it out. And he goes, okay, pulls it out, and he's ready. And he goes, now touch it to the back of your neck, and you'll understand. And guys, we, you know, ladies, it's an awesome thing that God has given you. It's a wonderful thing. But as a result, there's going to be an enmity between you and the devil, especially in that role. And there's a reason for it because, and this is an amazing thing, you need to know that it was through the woman and through birth and through being a mother that the Messiah was coming. You see, there is enmity between the woman and Satan. And there is enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. And the seed of Satan was going to come through basically the world system and those who didn't know God and those who just basically hated God. And not only that, but there was going to be Satan and all the demons of hell. We're going to fight against this whole idea of women being mothers because he knew that one day the seed of the woman was going to come, which is a weird term. The seed of the woman was going to be the one through whom the Messiah was going to come, and the serpent was going to seek to bruise the heel of this one who was going to be the Messiah. This is the first prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ and of God's salvation. And it says the serpent is going to bruise the seed of the woman, but then the seed of the woman is going to crush Satan's head. And what's fascinating is when you look at all of history, there has been a history-long desire to abuse women. There has been a history-long desire, and all you have to do is go into some of the other cultures in our world and see how they treat women. There is this lie that's being told by the atheists and the agnostics that Christianity denigrates women. If you want to know what denigrates women, go look at the other religions in the world, and you will find what denigrates women. Go look at the general society in our world that tells women that your role, your God-given role, is worthless and you shouldn't give yourself to that. You should try to become more like a guy. You should try to become more like a man. And there is just a denigration of women. There is a denigration of their role, and especially there is a denigration of the role of a woman as a mom, giving herself to loving and raising children. But there is also, saints, not only a promise of that enmity, that word enmity means a hatred, but there is a glorious promise that through the seed of the woman, salvation is going to come. And it is through the seed of the woman, the one who will crush the serpent's head. Now, an amazing thing, you go to Genesis 3:20 in that same chapter. And it says in verse 20 of Genesis 3, now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Now, I don't know if you know this, but actually Eve didn't come. God didn't give her that name. Adam gave her that name. And Adam knew this. As much as he could do, he was going to need his wife for there to be life to continue on this earth. And he gave her a marvelous name, Eve. That word, the word Eve means literally living or making alive. Because, as Adam said, she would be the mother of all the living. If we all want to know who we should offer a happy Mother's Day to, and it goes across the board for every last one of us, it's Eve. That's the one that we need to wish a happy Mother's Day to. Now, there's one other one we should wish a happy Mother's Day to. Anybody know who that is? Mrs. Noah, okay? Because we also all came from her, too. That's kind of cool, isn't it? That we came through her and her sons, and therefore it kind of came there. So, you know, the sad thing is in our day today, there's such a biblical ignorance that there are actually people out there who think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And that's sad. It's really out there. They gave tests to these kids, these people, and 15 to 20% of them thought Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. It may be in that new movie, but we don't know. So anyway, the new movie's crazy. Eve was going to be the mother of all the living. Now, what's awesome is God meant for women to be moms, okay? If a woman can bear children, God meant for her to be a mom. Now, let me say there are women that wind up infertile. And let me say, your purpose is not gone, because there's also this glorious thing called adoption that God gives as an option for folks, especially those folks who can't have children. And it's an awesome thing when you reach out to a child that has no family anymore, and you say to that child, we are going to bless you and we are going to give you our name. And actually, within Roman culture, if you adopted a child, you could actually disown your own child by birth, but you could not ever get rid of the child that you had adopted. They were your kid forever. You couldn't do that with a child that you adopted. And so it was considered an amazing thing when someone would reach out to a child that had lost its parents and bring them within their own household and say, we will bless you. We will give you our name. We will make you the one who will inherit what we have. And it's just a marvelous picture of salvation, where God also adopts us into his family. And it's a really cool thing, because we as Christians are the only ones who are born and adopted. Because we are born again as God works in us by his Spirit, and we are also adopted as sons and daughters into a relationship with him. So ultimately, let's say, and we need to know this, ultimately, ladies, you are going to be the one through whom not just ongoing life would come, but here's the awesome thing, ladies, it is because of what you do as moms that life everlasting was going to come. And let me say this, that is a very exalted position, ladies. Very, very exalted position. But God gives you another exalted position. Turn over to Romans, Proverbs chapter 6 for just a moment. In Proverbs chapter 6, we have an interesting passage that talks about the role of the dad and the role of the mom in training up children. And it's kind of cool what's written here, because it has its partnership also in the Godhead, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it's really kind of a cool thing in the roles that they have. In Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 20. And by the way, you need to know that Solomon wrote this, but when he says that he wrote it, the one who's actually talking is probably David, the man after God's own heart. So it's kind of cool that the guy who was the wisest person in the world was actually raised by the guy who was the man after God's own heart, okay? Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your neck. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And the reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Now, know this, ladies, and dads as well. It is our responsibility, and part of the reason that God allowed man and woman to come together and that there to be children that comes from that union is that it even says this in the book of Malachi, God was wanting a godly heritage to come out of it. The Lord was wanting that man and that woman to interact in such a way with their child that they would be taught, they would be instructed, and they would wind up growing up in the faith. You know, you have the mother Eunice and the grandmother Lois, or however that goes backwards. I always get those two mixed up. But you got a grandmother and a mom there, and it was because of their faith that that faith was passed down to Timothy. And that is exactly what God is wanting to happen. He does want the dad integrally involved in what is going on. But look what happens here. It says, my son, Solomon says, observe the commandment of your father. Now, the word commandment just is the basic word for a command. It's the basic commands of God. Dads, we need to be reading the scripture to our kids. That's kind of the role you see here at times, that we should be teaching them, but we should most of all make sure that our kids are reading the Word of God, or we are reading them the Word of God, so they hear the Word of God. Because if they're not hearing the Word of God, they don't have the light of day, and they're going to be very confused in a culture that doesn't see that there are morals, that doesn't see that there's truth, that doesn't understand that there's a way to live and a way not to live. And the only one who honestly has the right to command us what to do and how to live is Almighty God Himself, who is our Maker. But note it says, my son, observe the commandment of your father. So there is the dad making sure the child has the scripture. But then it says something awesome. It says, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. And the word there for teaching is the Hebrew word Torah, which means it was a verbal teaching and it wound up being written down later on. But it was taking the scriptures and it was expounding them so that you would understand what they say. And so it says, dads, make sure your kids have the scripture. And I love this. It says, moms, make sure that you sit down and explain to them what the scripture says and what it means and what is being said there. And it's an amazing thing when you see both, because it's not an either or, it's a both and. The dad should be making sure the word of God is going into his family. And let me say, dads, we're responsible to teach. Don't just say, well, woman, you get to do all the teaching. All I have to do is read. Don't go there. Because there's plenty in the scriptures that talk about that. But this is such a beautiful picture of the father bringing the word and the mother bringing the teaching. And it says, when you see those two together, it says, bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. And I love this. It says, when you walk about, and it's, when it says walk about, it's talking about your lifestyle. It says, they will guide you. It says, when you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. You know, there's a mindset that exists and I'm not going to say across the board in universities, but there's a mindset that often exists that says, you know, when you get a kid into a university setting, when you get a young man or young woman into a university setting, they come in there with certain beliefs and certain views and a certain understanding of life. And when you get among the atheistic and the agnostic professors and some who are just very arrogant about their position, they feel like it is their role to make sure that that child is divested of that so that they can think for themselves. And let me tell you something, saints. God never intended you to think for yourself when it comes to thinking outside of the realm of Scripture. You can, but it's a very foolish thing. In fact, you can go back to the very beginning and why we fell in the first place, and it was because we wanted to choose the knowledge of good and evil based on our own thinking rather than on understanding the revelation of God and having God give us his moral law and understanding that that moral law and what he teaches us will guide us through life. And so we have the commandment of our father and the teaching of our mother. And God says, oh, bind those things on your heart. Wear them around your neck. And it says when you walk about in your lifestyle, they're going to guide you. When you are asleep, they're going to watch over you. When you wake up, they will speak to you. And I love people who honestly can say things like, I hear my mom talking to me. I hear my dad talking to me. There's times I'm about to go into sin. There's times I'm about to go into ungodliness. And I just hear my mom. I hear my dad. And you know what's really cool is when those same people say, and I hear the scriptures. And moms and dads, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, is that going to guarantee you a perfect child? No, it's not. But oh, what a blessing that child has. Because they have something that's going to be so good for them. It says, for the commandment is a lamp. So you have the lamp. And it says, the teaching is light. And so you have this whole thing that you're walking around. You can either walk around in the dark with absolutely nothing to guide you, or you can experience what God intended through your mom and through your dad. And that as a result, you have the Word of God. You have the Word of God explained to you. And now you have a lamp and a light that actually guides you as you're walking around. And you're not stumbling about in the darkness. And oh, how not just this generation, every generation needs the Word of God and an understanding of the Word of God. Because I'm saying to you, saints, and Scripture backs me up on this, if you don't have these, you don't have the light of day. You're walking about in darkness and you're stumbling in darkness and you will fall because you're walking about in darkness. And by the way, there's one more thing that's said here, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Moms and dads, I know we would all love to be our kids' best friend. I know we would all love for our kids to say all the time, I love you. I appreciate everything you say to me 24/7. I don't know if that child exists. Your child may say to you, I hate you. You're trying to ruin my life. In fact, if they're a teenager, they'll say it repeatedly. You're ruining my life! You need to say, one day you'll thank me. They hate that, by the way. you know what? You're ruining them walking in their own way, which will lead to death. That's what you're ruining. You know, if you want to understand where all this comes down to, talk to teachers. Talk to teachers in classrooms and ask them about the people, the children who have parents who are involved in their lives and who are teaching in their lives, and the ones who say, man, I almost hate to call this parent up and tell them we've got a problem with their child because I know anything I do will never touch what their parents are going to do. And the funny thing is, very seldom does that teacher ever even have to call those parents because their child's being raised in such a way that they have boundaries, they have guidelines, they have the truth, they have a lamp, and they have a light, and they're not just stumbling around in the darkness. And I'm sorry, saints, but just listening to the preponderance of fools that have gathered around them and told them to live in a certain way. And if you want to know where the preponderance of fools live, it's in Hollywood. It's in New York and L.A. And they will tell you, you have to dress like this. You're not in unless you dress like this. You have to act like this. You're not in if you don't act like this. You need to understand that the morals and the mores of the previous generation or the old thing, and they'll always refer to them as, you know, well, you could go back and be a Puritan. Honestly, read about the Puritans. I would love to be a Puritan. I read the Puritans, and they are not these staunch people who never have any joy and walk around sucking on lemons and beating themselves in the head with a stick every time they have a nice thought. But that's the way they're represented in our society. But oh, they were happy people. They were joyful people. But they were also people that were bound by the Word of God and said, this is the truth and this is how I want to walk. Oh, saints, what a blessing to know that this is true. Reproofs for discipline are the way of life. You want to know how you're going to experience more and more life? Allow God by His grace to reprove you with His Word. And then here's one, and I know you're not going to like this. And the kids go, well, it's Mother's Day. He has to say it. Mom paid him to. You need to thank your mom for disciplining you. You need to thank your mom for correcting you. You need to thank her for not letting you just do whatever you want. You know those 10 things I said my mom never said to me? If your mom never said them to you, you need to call her today and say, thank you, Mom. Thank you for calling me on the carpet or calling me on the tile or the wood or wherever you live, okay? But I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing when God does this. Now, rather than just belay this, I want you to go at some point today and read two passages. One is Luke 26, and it's the story of how God gave Mary Jesus. And it was an awesome thing. Greetings, favorite one. I'll just read this to you. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And then Mary, I love it, at the very end, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Ladies, were it not for your sacrifice, were it not for the fact that you embrace, even at the enmity of Satan, and at the enmity of the world that he is seeking to create, because as the fairer sex of the human race, you did not reject those things. The day came because you gave yourself to the role, because you had the relationship with your husband where you were in submission to your husband, and yet at the same time, he would speak the commandment, you would speak the teaching, and the child would grow up with the fear and the admonition of the Lord in his heart. And because they gave themselves to that in a difficult time, in a tough situation, many times with sin affecting it to where it was not done in the most godly way. And women were not treated with the utmost of respect. But because they chose to continue in that way, the day came where a precious virgin was visited. And she was told, you're going to have a child, but it's going to be a lot different. Because you see, God is going to come upon you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the child that's going to be within your womb is going to be born in a different way from any other child who's ever been born. He will be perfect man, but he will also be perfect God. And his name will be called Jesus because he will save his people. Here's the amazing thing as I just was thinking about these things this week. You know, the story of redemption is here, isn't it? Ladies, through the actions of a lady, it seemed to fall apart because of her influence on her husband. Well, by the way, the husband's fully responsible for his actions. Please don't hear me saying that Adam was not completely out of line. He was. But isn't it awesome that God doesn't just cast man and cast woman aside, but he actually comes and he will give to a woman an incredible honor. Mary later spoke something called what we call the Magnificat. And she said, from this generation on, all people will call me blessed. And you need to know, ladies, that because of what you do, because of what God does through you, blessings come to generation after generation after generation of humanity. Do not let the world call you out from your femininity. Don't let the world call you away from embracing motherhood if God blesses you with a child through your marriage. Know this, God wants to bless, and he will bless, and he does bless incredibly through that marvelous role of being mother. And so, ladies, don't ever shrink from it. Wear that role with that glorious sense of purpose and meaning that God will give you as you bless another generation, this generation, with the way that you lay down your lives, with the way that you give yourself to these tasks, and to the way that God is exalted as a result. And another generation of children is raised with a compass, with a word of God, with a moral guide. And not only knowing a moral law, but please do this, ladies. Make sure they also know the moral lawgiver and they know the grace that allowed that law to fall on his son and the punishment due it. And instead, they are granted life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word.